I only know triathlon and Ironman. So I can help you. I can't help you with your business. I can't help you with French language. I can't help you raising your family. There's only one area that I can help you. And if you let me help you, I think we can get all the other things in your life sorted out as well. But it has to start with you, and we have to start with your fitness and your well-being. So
when you start talking about designing a training program that actually fits into real life, how do you actually do that? And what are like some of the practicalities about that? Because someone can easily say yes, but then
you have to train consistently. That's how every single world champion in any endurance sport will tell you. It's consistency.
Before we start this podcast, will you please like, follow, and subscribe to the Right Place podcast right here on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Rudolf and I would also love to connect with you on LinkedIn, so look us up there too. Thank you. Cheers. You're at the right place. My guest today helps busy executives and people who think they don't have the time or the fitness to become endurance athletes. His clients have gone from barely running around the block to crossing half Ironman, full Ironman, and even the Cape Epic finish line. Stefan Weyers is the co-founder of Wingman. It's a company designed to pull greatness out of ordinary men and women who may have thought that their best days were behind him. He is also a member of the LACA network like myself, and is currently based in the US of A. If you've ever wondered whether you're capable of more or whether you're even in the right place to grow, I hope this episode will challenge you to rethink what your limits actually are. Welcome, Stefan. Great to chat to you today.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here. It's actually the first time that I appear on a podcast that I've actually listened to. So I'm looking forward to that.
Thanks so much, Stefan, and grateful for your time. Stefan, let's dive right in. You describe your clients as successful executives, but somewhere along the line, they lost energy or discipline or even the belief in themselves. Why do you see this so often in the world that we live in today?
Well, firstly, it was my story. Exactly the same happened to me. I was a lawyer, and I was frequently traveling abroad and in the country. And you build your career, and you start neglecting things. So for me, I neglected my health. So to the point where I got really unfit and thought I didn't have time to train, and I became really overweight and subsequently lost a lot of energy and, just became miserable. And because I could turn it around, I had such a great experience, and I had so much more energy and, new body composition. And I felt so great afterwards that I thought I'm going to make it my mission to give that to other people. And that's why I started coaching, actually.
Now, Stefan, not everybody that completes an Ironman goes on to coach other Iron Men and Iron Women to do the same. When was that click for you? When did you first see that, look, there could be something here, or I see too many people who were like me who could actually achieve what I've achieved? Tell me about that moment.
When I stood on that beach the first time, being a non-athlete, I was overweight and unfit, and it was basically a mess. And I saw all these fit people. I immediately wanted to be like that. I felt so out of my place, and I knew that if these people can do it, then I'm gonna try and do it myself. And like I said, after I did it the second time, I realized that everybody can do it, because people, when they hear the distances of Ironman, and for those who don't know, it's a 3.8 kilometer swim followed by a 180 kilometer bike ride followed by a marathon of 42 Ks. When you hear those distances, you think it's impossible, or you think, well, I can't do it. And then I realized when I stood at that finish line, seeing other people cross the finish line, I saw all shapes and sizes and ages come past. And then I realized it really is, anybody can do it. So when that light went on and I saw what it did for me afterwards, when I had this new found energy and I've got this new body composition, all of a sudden everything around me started improving. When I realized all the benefits that I got from finishing the Ironman, I immediately knew that I can make other people more productive. I can change their body compositions. I can make them become better partners, better husbands, better employees, better dads, better neighbors. You unlock a lot of things around you, and everybody around you starts benefiting from this.
No, absolutely, Stefan. I mean, I've seen the transformation in some of my friends as well, who've gone through this process, not necessarily with you, but who also went on to do maybe Body for Life, and then they did half Ironman and full Ironman, and some guys even gone on to do the Comrades and things like that. Now, when you're transitioning from just a normal competitor to a coach, what were you looking at in terms of inspiration for the coaching? I mean, you've done it once or twice. But sometimes that's not enough actually to start coaching somebody. So who are you following, or who are you leaning on to give you that impetus to build an actual coaching program for an executive like your former self?
I was sucked in so deep into this Ironman world that I was consuming everything there was. And alongside the training, I then figured out I actually know more than most people, because there was nothing I didn't read. I read all the books. I read the training Bible from Joe Friel. I then flew to the States to come and meet Joe, because I just was so impressed by the way he saw everything. And I read every pro's race report. I watched so many YouTube videos. I consumed a lot of things. But to your point, then I realized, okay, I've done it. I've got the runs on the board. I was fat and unfit, and now I'm an Ironman. And I saw the benefits now in real life. So I thought, I really want to pass this on. I want to coach, but I've never coached anyone. So how do I now get this in motion? So I knew I need to get the credentials, and you have to be taken seriously, and you have to be accredited. I was the first South African to get the Ironman certified coaching credentials. And there was an online course at the time. And then I came to the States, like I said. I met Joe Friel twice. I did courses here. I did the USA triathlon certification. Then I had another challenge. I've now done it. I've now got the credentials, but I still haven't coached anyone. So I reached out to friends that I knew who were doing Ironman and other endurance races. And I basically offered my services for free to prove to them that I can coach. And they all made significant improvements in the first year. So then I proved to myself I can do it.
Absolutely amazing, Stefan. And in those 10 years, you've told me that you've coached over 500 athletes across 15 different countries. Is there maybe a surprising common thread that you often see when people come on board with Wingman? Something that's either in their past or how they look or how they feel about their situation?
There's a lot of things they have in common, John. They all are prepared to work hard. They all are serious about it. They all, when they made the commitment for Ironman, they trained consistently. So there's a common thread there. But in terms of the athletes I've encountered, I've seen elites going to, you know, they've had a significant background in the sport, and they went on to qualify for world champs in Kona. I've also seen people that have come into the sport like me, who couldn't swim, or, you know, I've coached people in their 70s. We've got a guy at our local triathlon club, John Cena. He's in his 70s. He just did 70.3 with us at Musselman this year. And I've just had an athlete join us with Flip in Vichy. He was 21. So There's like all shapes and sizes, all genders, all ages. I'm coaching at the DC Tri Club here in Washington DC. It was before COVID, one of the biggest in-person triathlon clubs in the world. And also there is a very diverse group of triathletes, and they're all successful. So they managed to get the work done despite everything they have around, you know, going on in their lives, careers, social commitments, family. And that's what I'd like to think is my edge. I find a way for them to make everything work around the training program. Doesn't make them miss any of those things. We make the program fit in with their lives.
Your motto says genetics loads the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger. Can you unpack that for people who maybe underestimate the lifestyle choices that they are making that are keeping them from even considering competing in an Ironman or just going to the gym more regularly?
Yeah, you know, genetics is a tough one because it's a hand that's dealt for you. You can't really influence that. But you can certainly delay the inevitable by adopting a more active lifestyle. And I only realized that later in life. You know, when you're young, you think you're bulletproof, and you think there's no consequences to whatever you're doing. You think you can get away with more than you think you can, and you just think nothing will influence you, your quality of life in your later years, where it, When that penny dropped for me, and I had a great example in my father. My dad is now 85, and all his friends that he has today are pretty much the same friends that he had when I grew up. So I knew all these guys, and they basically fall into two buckets. They're either dead or they have very low quality of life. You know, they are in a wheelchair or they're in a small little room and they can't move around. Even they have, you know, so much money in the bank, but they can't even go to the Spur for a coffee. Where my dad is 85, he can still wrestle with my teenage boys. He still plays golf. He still cycles. They go on a cruise every year. They can still, you know, dance and dine at night until late. And so it's all about quality of life. But you can't unlock that if your lifestyle, you know, is not a healthy one. And genetics is you can get away for a long time with it, but if your lifestyle is not a healthy one, you basically just start the countdown timer for a disaster.
When you're talking to busy professionals and trying to get them maybe signed up with Wingman or just to encourage them to start taking their fitness seriously, when you start talking about designing a training program that actually fits into real life, how do you actually do that? And what are like some of the practicalities about that? Because someone can easily say yes, but then this can easily become another stress factor for them. And you almost want to create a space where they can be successful, but they can still put in the hard yards.
Yeah, I learned that by getting it wrong so many times. When I started out, I made the mistake. And in my defense, I didn't really know what I was getting into. So I was guilty of, you know, selling A to my wife and then delivering B. I totally overdid it. And I thought if the program says you have an hour to run or that you have to, you know, it's a bike workout of an hour. I didn't always factor in the times before and after that. When we started the business, you know, we had a big group early on, and that meant going early, driving somewhere to a meeting point, and then people came late, and then there were mechanical issues on the route, or someone always had an issue, or there was someone maybe had a crash and you had to help, or so the 2 hour ride or the 1 hour ride turns out to be 3 or 4 hours, especially when you finish and then people want to have a beer or a coffee or something. So yeah, that can be. So I made all those mistakes and then that empowered me. So when I speak to someone now, I firstly make sure that their available training time is realistic. And I've also seen a lot of these people when they start, they're so ambitious and they're so over eager that they tell me, no, I've got lots of time. No, I've got, so there's two people, the one that says I've got no time, I can't do this, or the one that says, oh no, I train a lot at the moment. I can easily train 2 hours a day and then 3 hours on a weekend. And then you load an hour a day for that guy in the beginning. And then he calls you and says, where do you think I must get all this time to train? So they don't gauge their available training time very well. To answer your question, what I do is I try to meet every athlete where they are and sit down and realistically go through their schedules, go through their careers, go through their daily tasks and see where the lowest hanging fruit is. A lot of the people that say they don't have time, I direct them to their iPhone settings, to their screen time, you know, counter, and I let them read to me how much time they spend on their phones that day. And it's typically in the 4 or 5 hour range. And if you see the apps that consume the most of that time, you'll see that they scrolled on, you know, stupid apps, that Instagram for 3.5 hours. I mean, it's, and then they tell me they don't have time to train. So everybody has time. There's some pretty busy people in life. Guys like Elon Musk and those guys, the difference, they've only got 24 hours just like we do. Nobody gets more time. So busy doesn't mean you don't have time. Busy means you're probably unproductive somewhere. We all have 24 hours. It's a question of slicing that into finding, even if it's 15 minutes, you can do a lot by 15 minutes a day if you're doing nothing at the moment. 30 minutes is a lot. You can really move the needle with 30 minutes a day. And then that compounds over time. Once again, when you start and you get all this new energy and this new body composition, then it's easy to find another 15 minutes to go to 45 minutes. And it just all compounds. And then your boundaries start expanding so quickly that when you wipe your eyes out, you're cycling 4 hours on a weekend and loving it.
Awesome, Stefan. Now, Stefan, you also say that some clients just stopped waiting for the perfect time to jump in and do this. I mean, oftentimes people say, okay, I'll do it next year, or I'm just waiting for my promotion to come through, or I'm waiting on this project, and other people just get on with it. How do you help people who you know they need to do this, they want to do this, but they're still like a little bit hesitant? What are some of the stories you tell them to get them just to get started with the program?
What I've learned is that people are amazing with finding excuses. They're all ready, but they tell you they're not ready right now. And if it's a financial issue, then there's a lot of things you can do that cost no money. It doesn't cost money to go for a walk around the block. And walking is probably the most underrated exercise there is, especially if you do it with a loaded backpack. But, you know, everybody does it for different reasons. So if you see the bigger picture and you realize that whatever you're going to do is going to influence the quality of your life when you're older, people, once they get that concept, then they let go of a lot of these excuses. They tend to start earlier. It's about the bigger picture. If they're just doing it for a finish line or just for a challenge, it's something that they keep on, you know, postponing. But as soon as they start realizing, I'm running out of time here. I've whatever I decide today is going to have an impact on my quality of life later. That usually gets them, you know, excited a bit earlier. And once you explain to them that they don't have to throw money at this, you don't have to join a group, you don't have to buy anything, you can start where you are with what you have, but just start now.
No, very, very true, Stefan. And now, Stefan, over this 10-year period of building up Wingman and everything, you've built yourself into the go-to coaches for executives. And you've been really successful, and a couple hundred people have gone through your program. What has this journey taught you about building your personal brand and building trust with the executives that you are turning into athletes?
That is the big thing I'm struggling with now, or the challenge I'm facing now, is how do I grow this? Because I've coached many people and they've all been successful, and now the demand is increasing, and I'm finding interest in other parts of the world and in other, you know, companies on a corporate level that want to mobilize their C-suite. So I have to build trust, because you only recommend people when you trust them. And you know, that's the best form of marketing. It just takes a bit longer. But yeah, the credibility is a big part of it. So I feel I've got enough runs on the board now. So people, you know, when I started telling, showcase some of these stories on LinkedIn, and I showed the photos and I showed the before and after photos, that builds trust, and that builds credibility. And that's why I'm now in a position to scale into other countries, because there's a big need for it. And there's so many corporates that have let themselves go, and they're young enough to still do something about it, but they also realize they're running out of time. They need to start sooner than later. And the fact that I could do it as a corporate, as a midlife executive, means that if I can do it, anyone can do it. There's nothing special about me. I was just prepared to do the work. And I just realized I came to a point a bit sooner than other executives in their 50s and 60s that realized, you know, I have to do something. But I saw the light and I did something about it. And now I am in a position to, you know, to help others.
And Stefan, talking about one of your success stories, I think we're all still celebrating Flip Funimava's recent VG Ironman achievement. He's also a member of the LACA network. So we've seen a couple of the behind the scenes photos and heard Flip share a little bit on our various WhatsApp groups. And you guys have both shared about it on LinkedIn. Tell me about who Flip was when he first came to you for coaching, and then maybe about the man Flip has reemerged as after his achievement there in his first half Ironman.
Flip's story was one of the most rewarding experiences in my coaching career, and there's a bit of a backstory there. I didn't meet Flip in January and try to help him to become a half Ironman. I've actually known Flip for a very long time. I was his agent. When he played rugby, I did his very first deal and I did his very last deal. So he was a client from 19 at university all the way to finishing at Clermont. So we've always kept contact, and I've seen over the years, I was part of all flips, you know, highlights and all. There were some lowlights, as any professional rugby player has. There's always injuries and non-selection, or there's many things that can happen in a rugby career. But I've fortunately got to know Flip very well, so I knew what the guy was about. And then I also, through the years of keeping contact, I met him at the World Cup for a drink in 2023, and I could see there's a bit of a decline. And then I could sense that, you know, he's not as confident as he used to be, and I could see that he's struggling with a few things, like any person who's trying to build a business in a foreign country while starting a family. It's hard to do. And I could see he was bearing the weight of that. He was just letting himself go and not prioritizing his fitness and his general well-being. He was working very hard, but letting himself go in the process. When I caught up with Flip about a year ago, I could sense that something is not the old Flip that I knew. He sounded different, and it's almost like he was less confident. And he was always a, I don't know if for those people who've met Flip, he's got a bit of a presence. You know, he lights up the room. He's got this big voice, and he's always smiling. He's a lovely guy. And I could sense that he doesn't sound like that anymore. I could immediately sense that Flip is now sounding differently. And he obviously looked much different. He's put on a lot of weight. And I said to him, Flip, let me help you. But I only know triathlon and Ironman. So I can help you. I can't help you with your business. I can't help you with French language. I can't help you raising your family. There's only one area that I can help you. And if you let me help you, I think we can get all the other things in your life sorted out as well. But it has to start with you, and we have to start with your fitness and your well-being. So let's do it. And he said, okay. And we looked for a race in his area, and we saw the race in Vichy. It was about a 5-hour drive from his house. So I said, okay, well, now we've got a location, we've got a venue, we've got a date. So now we need to get fit. And he said to me, give me 5 more days. And and on day 5, I called him and I said, are you ready to start? He says, yes, let's go. So I said to him, Flip, let's just remind ourselves of where we are. You're not the ex-Springbok rugby player. You're not the player who won the Super 14 and the Currie Cup. You are now level 0. So we're meeting you where you are. You're morbidly obese. You are unfit. Let's pack your ego very deep away and let's start from level 0. And he said, no, he's already done that. He's realized that he's not a shadow of the man he was, but he's got the desire to get it back. And because I go back so long with Flip, I knew what was inside of that man. He's capable of many things. There's nothing he can't do. But we just needed to reignite that flame. And I knew he was prepared to do the work. And when he started training, you know, when people see the end result, they think he must have trained 50 hours a week, or he must have, you know, started running 10Ks from the first week. You can ask him what the first week looked like. I think he swam something like 6 lengths. I think he cycled for 20 minutes, just an easy spin. And he went to walk for an hour. And in time, those things just kept on compounding and compounding. And he was consistent. He made time. He got up at, sometimes he got up at 5 in the morning. Sometimes he trained in the rain. Sometimes he, you know, exercised while being on calls, or he really found the time and did the effort. And if I look at his result, you know, to his first run, his first 5K run took him almost over an hour. And he ran after swimming 1.9Ks and then cycling a hilly course for more than 3 hours. He ran a 2-hour 20 half marathon. Now, I know athletes that can't run it under 2 hours and 30, but that big body still ran 2:20 half marathon. That's an incredible result for a guy who couldn't run in January. But that just shows you what's possible if you do the work and if you're disciplined and if you have the drive. He put a lot into it, and he got a lot out of it. And now he's completely transformed. I wrote about it on LinkedIn. I could sense as time went on that he sounded he started sounding differently. He all of a sudden had energy, and all of a sudden he had, it was nothing. He was unstoppable again. He was the old Flip.
Stefan, we're all really proud of Flip. Obviously, when I spoke to him on the podcast, he told me that he's going to start with this Ironman, and he's obviously achieved that now. But what do you think he's going to do next, and or what do you think he's capable of doing next, based on all the fitness that he's now achieved?
He's completely into this Ironman thing now. He's definitely going to do more events. I think he's going to probably do one or two more halves. He wants to improve his time, and I think he can develop into a very good endurance athlete, because endurance sports does not require a lot of talent. It requires hard work. If you're prepared to put in the volume, you'll get the results, and he's prepared to do the work. And if he sheds a few more kilograms, I think he's going to become a really good triathlete. So he's going to probably do another half, and then he's going to definitely do a full. His challenge just is when to do it, because it's a significant time commitment. And with, he had a baby boy earlier in the year. So whether he's going to have the time to do it right now or later, but he's definitely not going to stop. He's now seen the benefits, just like I have when I started. He's now unlocked so many things and see how everybody around him is benefiting. So he's definitely going to continue, and he will never go back to being overweight and unfit. It's now going to become a part of his life.
Absolutely amazing. No, we look forward to that. And congratulations to you and Flip as well. I mean, definitely a dynamic duo, and coming full circle from when he was so young to now, you've gone through the trenches with him, and he's achieved greatness and a massive milestone. That's going to mean a lot to him and his family, definitely. Now, Stefan, in your coaching, you say that the intersection is at your ability and the science and technology. But oftentimes we don't really look at science or technology. We look at, firstly, just the human specimen standing in front of us. Is the person long enough, or they're fit enough, or they're strong enough? What part does science and technology play when you're preparing for these endurance events?
The technology is probably the biggest one, because you can only improve what you can measure. So with these sports watches we all have these days, you know, I coach most of my athletes remotely. There's some of my athletes I've coached for 5-6 years I've never met, and I probably will never meet them. But I speak to them every day, and I see their data every day, and I make comments on their data every day. But yeah, the technology is a big one. And this, in terms of the science, there's a lot of exercise science out there, and it seems to evolve all the time. And every year there's a new buzzword. But what I've found is that all these new concepts doesn't necessarily work for everybody. So part of the coaching is to figure out what works for John, what works for Joe, what works for Stefan. So I don't have a one-size-fits-all approach. There's a few basic principles that will never change, like consistency is a big one. You will never be successful in endurance sport if you don't train consistently. You don't have to train every day. You don't have to train twice a day, but you have to train consistently. That's how every single world champion in any endurance sport will tell you. It's consistency. So I try a lot of things with a lot of clients, or I start with myself. When I first heard about this low heart rate training, I couldn't find one athlete that was prepared to do that. So I did it on myself. You know, especially when I read it, started researching, and I found that one of the experts said it could take up to 3 years for you to become faster by training just at a low heart rate. So I couldn't find anyone who was prepared to train at a low heart rate for 3 years. So I did it myself. And now I've got the data, and I've got the story to tell. I'm much faster I became when I just trained easy. So the science is important, but you can't just apply the science, you know, to everybody. You have to still figure out people respond differently to the same impulses. So you have to figure out what works the best for a specific athlete. And there's a few things that work for most people, but there's a few things that only work for a selected few. So you have to figure that out. And by collecting data and using technology, but that's how we bring the two together.
No, excellent, Stefan. I think it's great to live in today's age where obviously AI has taken over the world, but that you've got access to technology. You can coach people remotely. You can use Zoom or Teams or Google Meets, and you can track people's progress as well, and you can hold them accountable, and they can also hold you accountable for the results. And I think that's a wonderful testament to like this global world that we live in. I mean, if you're just based in DC back in like 20 years ago, you would only be able to talk to people around the corner from you at the local running club. But now you've set yourself up in a way that you can coach anybody from anywhere.
I once coached a guy who works on a ship. He only has the gym on the ship, but I could get his data through satellite. So I could send him his workouts and I could harvest the data. So it is incredible how you can, you know, like you said, 20 years ago, it was impossible. He would have probably, and keep in mind, I've never met these people. So they find me online. They would have never found me if it wasn't for technology. And now to coach someone on a ship or someone in a remote island or somewhere, and I've got clients in Tanzania that I've picked up online that found me online, that I'm coaching today still. That would never be impossible if it wasn't for technology.
No, amazing, Stefan. Stefan, so at the Right Place podcast, we believe your right place is at the intersection of your roles, relationships, and environments. So I just want to focus on that a little bit now. Stefan, what identity shift did you have to make when you went from your role as a lawyer, a sports agent, and now to become an Ironman coach? I know you did the training and you went through the process as well, but your identity as a man, as a father as well, how did that change over time? And what were some of the key decisions you had to make?
I think the first thing that I realized was it's now in my hands. There's no one to blame. I can't, you know, point finger at anyone to say I'm in this position because of this and this and that. I put myself here. It was my decision. Now I have to make it work. I have to take extreme ownership and everything now. If it works, it's because I worked hard. If it fails, it's because I made the wrong decision. So I initially had a hard time, you know, dealing with that I'm left to my own devices, but that typically is a scenario where I do better, where there's no one to blame except myself. So accept full responsibility. That was probably the biggest one.
Your co-founder, Dave Sullivan, brings his own energy and expertise to the coaching business. Tell me about that business relationship and maybe also what Dave brings. What are some of his strengths that is helping your business wingman grow?
So when we started, I started as a part-time coach. We founded the business together, but I was still busy with my corporate day job. So he was the full-time coach in person, where I was a part-time coach, online. I basically started the online business and trying to attract the overseas clients. We are very, very different coaches in, you know, I'm coaching the people that the story that I can tell best, which is the midlife executives. I've been through it myself. I learned so much by being in these guys' shoes that I'm coaching now. So I can tell that story. So I'm probably, that's my niche. We've got different niches. My niche is the midlife executive, and his niche is the triathlete who wants to unlock the next level. He coaches high-performing triathletes probably better than I could. So we're very different. We're very different personalities, very different people, very different, you know, we come from very different places. We appeal to different personalities. We came to the sport in very different avenues. Dave is an incredibly great, he's a very, very good coach. He taught me a lot, and he's amazing with athletes that want to unlock the next level. You know, people that have done a few of these events and now want to, you know, go to the elite level. He's a great coach for those people. He has a big energy around that. And so we complement each other well. We knew from the start that we're going to see things differently and appeal to different people, but we have what it takes to grow the business into other territories. And, you know, combined, we have a lot of experience that we can share with athletes.
Excellent. And talking about how you've built the business, Wingman has international reach, but how do you keep the culture consistent across different geographies and training environments? Not everybody has access to the same equipment or the same infrastructure to go and train and everything. So How does your coaching navigate that?
That is a great question, John. We really had a sit down to decide what our offering is. And our offering is to meet you where you are and to add a lot of benefit and to be involved. We don't want to be a magazine program with a pat on the back. We want to be there and be part of the journey and you know, remove the guesswork and add a lot of value along the way. So we make an effort to get to know the athlete, you know, find out what the limiters are, what is the lowest hanging fruit, where can we help break down barriers, where can we, you know, add more, is it technique, is it a strength issue, what is needed for that client in the moment to get him to the next level, and then just being consistent in the feedback and, you know, frequent contact and just creating a team of athletes that are all on the same page and want to conquer the same events.
Stefan, lastly, you're a member of the LACA network, like myself. Tell me why you joined and what's been your experience so far connecting with other people in South Africa and also around the world.
Yes, when I heard about the LACA network, I started reading about it, and it was a genius concept by Renier and Nick. I don't know why anybody didn't think of this sooner, but you know, they always said the best export of South Africa is its people. And there's been a pretty high number of successful people all over the world in all sorts of business. And it was just logical to get these people to share networks and to help each other. And, you know, everybody that immigrates needs assistance. It's probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But South Africa is in our blood. We want to help. We want to give back. And we didn't flee the country. We might have come for an adventure or an opportunity, but we all love South Africa dearly. We all prepare to help. And if we can help anyone, and if someone in South Africa is doing business and we can help them unlock overseas markets and get them to earn foreign currency, I love the fact that the network is all about helping people. You're not joining to gain anything for yourself. But help by helping people is, you know, the way for other people to eventually start helping you. And the network, collectively, what we have to share and the quality of the people that's involved and the quality of the businesses that's involved and the number of networking opportunities and what that unlocks for other people in their lives and careers, it's incredible. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to have joined and to be a founding member, and looking forward to add a lot of value as I go, because I wish there was something when I came to the States the first time, but now I'm in a position to help someone else who come here and you know, introduce them to the network and what there is collectively to help people.
Absolutely amazing, Stefan. We're glad to have you as a member and look forward to learning from you. And I'm sure you're going to encourage a whole bunch of us to start up their Ironman journey as well. Now, Stefan, I want to give you the platform to talk to anybody that's maybe listening to this podcast and knows they're not in their right place. They're unfit, they're overworked, they're overtired, they're stressed out, and they know there must be more to life than going through life disappointed in themselves, disappointed in their own fitness results, or how they perceive themselves, or even how the world perceives them. If someone is like that, is watching this or listening to this, what would be your message to them?
I would say you can change all of that by working on your fitness, your mental fitness and your physical fitness. You have to make time to exercise. When you exercise, you'll sleep better. When you sleep better, you'll have more energy in the morning. When you have more energy in the morning, you'll be a better, a more pleasant person to be around, and you'll be able to achieve much more. And a lot of people tell me it's not for them, or they don't know how to start, or they don't know what to do, but it's easy. You have to exercise. You have to, even if it's walking, you have to go on a walk. And I can tell you that I take out my dog for a walk in nature every day. It's completely changed the way I start my days. It's completely changed how much clarity I have, how much it just all my best decisions, all my best ideas come from that walk. So Put your trainers on, get out there. You don't need to join a gym. You don't need to hire a coach. You don't need to buy anything. You can just put on your shoes, go outside and walk. Walk for 5 minutes. Tomorrow you walk for 10 minutes. And then keep on walking. And a week later you walk for 30 minutes. And then you will immediately be drawn into wanting to do more, and you will feel better afterwards. And even if you don't feel like doing it, go and try and do the 5-minute test. Go and do it for 5 minutes. And if you don't enjoy it, then go back home. But I promise you, after 5 minutes, you'll do an extra 10. Start where you are, do what you can, and make time for it. Schedule it. And then obviously, what I've seen with people my age is they neglect all the, this will make all the doctors happy, all the checkpoints, all the, you know, the blood work. Make sure you're healthy if there's anything that needs to be addressed. But once you get that doctor's clearance, start small, but do something every day.
Absolutely amazing. I love that advice, Stefan. Thank you so much. Stefan, we always end off our podcast asking the same question to every guest. And Stefan, in 2025, where is your right place?
If you make the correct deposits in enough accounts, you will eventually arrive at a place where you can make a withdrawal, where you can ask for advice or ask for a contact, or people can put you into contact with in another area where you can, you know, can catapult you into a place where you couldn't have been without those contacts. But you can't just walk around asking for things and demanding things and unlocking things with people you know before you've helped someone. I would say deposit before you withdraw.
Excellent, Stefan. Excellent. Stefan, thank you so much for your time today. I've really enjoyed talking to you. If people want to connect with you, learn more about the work that you do, find out more about the programs that you run with Wingman, where is the best place to do that?
I'm on LinkedIn as Stefan Weyers. The website is www.wingmansport.com. On Instagram, I'm coach.stefan.weyers, and that is STEPHANWEYERS. And that's pretty much it.
Awesome, Stefan. Ladies and gentlemen, please connect with Stefan. Please check out Wingman. Please check out more of Flip Hunter Mavis journey on our previous podcast episode as well. And please, I really encourage you, if this episode has meant something to you or you want to share it with a friend of yours, please do so. Please remember to follow and subscribe to the Right Place podcast. Thank you very much, Stefan. Thank you, everybody else, for listening and your support. And we will see you next time at the Right Place. Cheers.
Thank you, John. All the best. Bye-bye.